Welcome to Talking to the Professors at Austin Health.
Hello, welcome to the Austin Hospitals podcast series. I'm Professor Jeffrey Zajac. I'm head of the Division of Medicine here at the Austin and Professor of Medicine at the University of Melbourne. I'd like to introduce Professor Chris Rowe, who is the Director of the Department of Nuclear Medicine and the Centre for PET at Austin Health. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
We are going to talk a little bit about dementia this morning, but many people might not have any idea what a PET is.
PET stands for positron emission tomography, and it's a imaging or brain scanning technique along the lines of CT and MRI scans. Except with PET scans, you're injected with a little tiny dose of a slightly radioactive compound, and then a picture is taken of where that compound ends up in your brain or part of the body, whichever is in the scanner. So it has a number of applications, particularly in cancer treatment, cancer research, and in neuroscience, particularly in diagnosis of conditions such as epilepsy and increasingly in dementia.
So dementia is a very common illness.
About 250,000 Australians currently have dementia, and with the ageing population, it's expected that within the next 30 years that number could get close to 1 million sufferers.
So why is it getting more common?
It's related to age, and in fact some of our research has shown that if you live long enough, you are almost inevitably going to get dementia.
And if you're getting older and you can't remember people's names, is that dementia?
No. Dementia is when you've got significant memory and thinking problems that are severe enough to interfere with what you normally do on a day-to-day level. So if you're having trouble driving the car, if you can't operate the mobile phone or the TV remote control anymore, that's when it would be said that you probably have dementia. A little bit of benign forgetfulness with ageing is very common. In fact, that's normal.
So if someone has dementia, how is the diagnosis made?
At the moment, it's a clinical diagnosis. It's based on a history of decline in function and then various pencil and paper tests to assess your memory. The problem is that it's known that these processes that lead to dementia take 10 to 20 years or more to develop, and the diagnosis is only made right at the end once there's what is likely to be irreparable brain damage. Even then, compared to what's found at post-mortem, the clinical diagnosis is only about 80% accurate. So the current way we diagnose Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia is late in the course of the disease and also not terribly accurate.
It doesn't sound like a very sophisticated system.
No, well, there's reluctance to make an early diagnosis for some good reasons. It is a fatal illness. The average life expectancy from diagnosis to death is only 7 to 8 years. And so it's not a diagnosis you want to make lightly, and without any objective tests to support a clinician's impression, there is a reluctance to come to a diagnosis when the very first signs appear. So usually it takes a year, two, three, four before a diagnosis is reached.
There are a number of different causes of dementia. What's the commonest one?
This is an area of common confusion. Dementia describes a state where a person is no longer able to carry out their day-to-day activities due to problems with thinking and memory. But as you said, there are numerous causes for this. By far and away, the most common cause is Alzheimer's disease, which is a pathological process that we can see on examination of the brain, and this accounts for about 70% of cases of dementia. Other causes include multiple strokes and much rarer forms of dementia, such as dementia with Lewy bodies and frontotemporal dementia.
I understand that there is some research being done into new ways to diagnose Alzheimer's disease. Is that correct?
Yes, as I mentioned earlier, the current methods of diagnosis are fairly subjective. There's no conclusive test that you can have to say you have Alzheimer's disease or you have depression or you have any other type of reason for impairment of memory. So we are working on developing tests that show the specific cause of various types of dementias, in particular Alzheimer's disease. And a recent advance has been the ability to use PET scans to look at the presence in the brain of something called amyloid. Amyloid is a protein that builds up in basically clumps or plaques and is found in everybody with Alzheimer's disease, and it's thought to be the cause of the dementia. The amyloid plaques, as they're forming, are believed to damage brain cells, and this eventually leads to loss of memory and cognitive functions and eventually dementia.
And how can you see if it's there?
For many years, pathologists on post-mortem brain tissue samples have had dyes that stick to this amyloid, and so they're able to stain the tissues and look at it under the microscope. A chemist and a psychiatrist at the University of Pittsburgh succeeded in putting a slightly radioactive PET isotope onto one of these dyes, injected it into humans, and found that if you then put them in the PET scanner, you could actually see this dye sticking to the protein, the amyloid protein in the brain. So that's how it works. It's a simple small injection in the arm, then we wait about half an hour and put the person in the scanner for about 20 minutes, and we can see whether or not there's amyloid in the brain and how much is there.
And this is a test you're doing at the Austin?
Yes, we started, we were one of the first sites in the world to start using this test. We began in September 2004, and we've scanned probably over 500 patients with this technique. We would be the site in the world that's done the most of this type of scan.
And as you said before, this is still a research tool. Are you gaining confidence that it might be useful in clinical diagnosis?
Yes, we've found that the presence of amyloid in the brain increases with age. In fact, we've found that if you get to 85 years of age, it's almost inevitable that you have extensive amyloid deposits in your brain. We've been following people who initially were asymptomatic volunteers who had amyloid in their brain, and 5 years later they're now showing decline in memory. And it's consistent with what was thought based on post-mortem studies that the amyloid deposits are occurring 10, 15 years before the development of symptoms, and certainly at least 10 to 20 years before a patient has dementia.
And if you have this amyloid deposited in your brain, will you inevitably get dementia?
That's what we're trying to work out with longitudinal studies. So everybody that we've scanned, we're following. At the moment, we've got out to 5 years of follow-up. Certainly, there are some people, some normal people with amyloid in their brain who are still normal 5 years later, but there are others that are starting to show some cognitive or memory decline.
So if your research is successful, we might have a test that is useful for diagnosing this terrible illness. Is there any treatment that's any good for Alzheimer's disease?
No. At the moment, our advances in diagnosis are probably running ahead of our advances in treatment. That's not to say that treatment may not be very far away. The major pharmaceutical companies have all identified Alzheimer's as a priority area for developing therapeutics. Obviously, there will be an absolutely huge market for any company that comes up with a drug that can delay the onset of Alzheimer's disease. At the moment, there are some drugs that are symptomatic. They improve memory slightly, but they don't affect the progression of the disease. However, there are numerous trials currently running aimed at getting amyloid out of the brain, and we await the outcome of these trials with great interest.
And does having a test like yours help when testing new drugs for Alzheimer's disease?
Yes, these amyloid PET scans are now being used by the drug companies to assess the effectiveness of their anti-amyloid therapies. So there's a number of studies running here at the Austin as part of multi-centre international trials of these new types of drugs, and we're using our amyloid scans to see if those treatments are working.
So your research seems to be very collaborative with drug companies and groups at University of Melbourne and other places. Is that a good way to do research?
Well, you have to. We're the lead imaging site and the coordinating centre for an Australia-wide study called ABLE, the Australian Imaging Biomarkers and Lifestyle Study of Ageing. This has enrolled 1,000 participants who are being followed up every 18 months, and we hope that this study will go for at least 10 years. It's very difficult for one site to do this sort of study alone, but these are the sort of numbers we need to really work out the significance of finding a little bit of amyloid in a brain at a certain age and what that means for that person's future.
Can I get you to perhaps speculate about what's likely in the next 5, 10, 15 years? Do you think there'll be effective treatment or even perhaps a cure for dementia caused by Alzheimer's disease?
I doubt that there'll be what you'd call a cure of an established case of Alzheimer's disease, because as I mentioned earlier, the problem with current clinical diagnosis is that by the time you have dementia, you've done significant damage to your brain. You've lost an enormous number of brain cells. And if you do a scan like an MRI, you can see there's dramatic shrinkage of various parts of the brain. What I see the future being is drugs to modify and slow the development of Alzheimer's disease by interfering with the accumulation of amyloid or stopping the build-up of amyloid, much like people who put on antihypertensive drugs to stop later strokes and heart attacks or cholesterol-lowering agents. I think it's very likely we'll come up with some sort of medication that will stop the formation of amyloid and therefore hopefully stop the development of Alzheimer's disease.
So the trick will be early diagnosis followed by some long-term medication of some sort.
It's much easier to prevent or intervene very early on before a lot of permanent severe damage is done, and I think that's the best hope for the future.
Well, perhaps on that positive note, we should stop, and thank you, Chris, for being here this morning.
Thank you, Jim.
That was Talking with the Professors at Austin Health.